The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. You want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. Come on, girl. We're going to elevate your mind. All right. This is Bernadette with I've got Diamond Gray in studio, Lexi Brinkley, Sean Wells. Oh, my goodness. I've got Aviana here. I've got Carla here. And I have two special guests along with Sean Wells, his friends Tyler Posing, who's a CPA, and Chris Irvin has a master's degree in exercise and nutrition science. So we've got a lot of really bright people here today.
Yeah, I think you surround yourself with very intelligent, amazing people.
I do try to do that. I do.
That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, like Tim Ferriss talks about that. Like you're the product of like the five people around you, and look at the people around you today.
The five closest friends that you have. Yeah. That's a reflection of you. Absolutely, yes. Absolutely true. You know, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff today. I'm super excited. We've got Sarah Ballantyne from Paleo Magazine. She's a PhD. She's going to be talking about the plant-based paleo. Mm. It's so crazy. It's all over the place. It's keto. It's paleo. It's vegan. It's a mix of all of the above. But the one thing that they all have in common is that vegetables are excellent for you.
Yep. And
getting rid of processed food. We're going to talk all about it. And, of course, the ketogenic diet. I love this. I saw an article. It's called The Pillars of Health. I almost brought this up at the beginning of the show yesterday, and it was in Psychology Today. And so it's fascinating how the serendipitous nature of this show, how things just seem to fall in line together over and over again. But we're going to be talking about the ketogenic diet for psychiatric disorders, a new 2017 review, and that's basically what they're talking about in this article, The Pillars of Health. Again, it comes down to getting rid of processed food, putting lots of fruits and veggies in your life, and it'd be amazing. You'll be amazed at how the disease, if your body is diseased, will pretty much go away by just taking care of what you put in your mouth.
And it drops the sugar content dramatically
from
our diet.
Which, of course, the inflammation. And then we've got Dr. Mike Fenster on today. He's going to talk about the link between depression and inflammation, again, which is exactly what we're talking about because it's all related.
Totally.
And so many people in America are suffering with mental disorders. And I was talking to a good friend of mine yesterday about how fast everything is moving. You know, all these updates. I mean, you can't relax for a second.
Right. And I actually just posted something the other day that I think if you eat more fast food, you have a 51% higher chance of depression. Now, of course, they can be correlated. Like, it's not necessarily all causal.
Right.
Like, some could be, like, the fact that you're depressed and you eat more fast food. But certainly, I think it's all related.
Like, oh, absolutely.
It's a downward spiral, essentially.
Absolutely. Well, and I think that if you're eating a lot of fast food as well, it could be, you know, I mean, it could be a number of things. Sometimes that's all somebody can afford and they have to eat or they have to feed their kids. Or, I mean, I can tell you, I would eat it at McDonald's only because I love their Filet-O-Fish. It's like one of my favorite things to eat. It probably would be like my last meal is a Filet-O-Fish. I just love it. And my first job was at McDonald's and I got fired for he sexually harassed me and I got fired. That was a few years ago.
Hashtag me too.
Hashtag me too. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so funny. But I love that you brought your friends in today, Sean. We've got Chris Irvin and Tyler Posing.
Yep.
And so,
thanks for having us.
Yeah. So, what do you guys want to tell the world, you young guys in the nutrition business out there, just kind of, you know, make a statement? Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, I'm definitely here to kind of hone in on the keto side of things. That's definitely where a lot of my passion lies. So, I did a lot of ketogenic dieting research in my graduate school.
Oh, nice.
And I've been doing that since then. So I've been researching the diet for the last 3 years now. So on the nutrition side of things, that's definitely where my passion lies.
Well, you've been on the show before. Yeah, because and you currently serve as the director of content for ketogenic.com.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Yeah. He's nice. At Aspie. Yeah, he's also very passionate about intermittent fasting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I intermittent fast daily. I've been doing that for about a year and a half now.
Yeah, so. I'm doing it again. I have been doing it, but I cheated a little bit, and I thought, oh, a little bit of whipped cream won't hurt. Well, a little bit of whipped cream will hurt, Bernadette,
yeah, a little
you know?
Bit.
And so, you know, I knocked it off. And so I've just got nothing but good old black coffee in my body right now and
go.
A lot of energy to do this show. And just what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is to do this show and communicate with so many people in America and try to get us all well again.
Yeah, well, that's definitely something that we're trying to do with the ketogenic diet, with all the education that we're pumping out too, is that, you know, me and Sean were talking earlier today that we really think that, you know, a lot of people talk about all the different benefits that the ketogenic diet can provide. And, you know, a lot of people kind of think that maybe it's being portrayed as a miracle diet, but it's not that we're trying to portray it that way. It's just that there's so many benefits that it can provide that we really want to try to get that information out to everybody.
And we are a country that has been eating way too much processed food and fast food for way too long, and we are definitely paying a price for it. You spoke of education, and so I have to bring this up. Who's smarter, dogs or cats? Maura Davies from the vice president. She's the vice president of the communications at the SBCA. How are you doing today?
Doing great. I love to
talk. My wife and I were debating this just yesterday.
Yeah, so it's so funny. So who's smarter, dog or cats? And what's the latest? What's the latest study find?
Well, the latest study actually finds that dogs may appear to be smarter than cats, which
really
shocked me a lot. and the way that the scientists who study this is actually, it's an international team of researchers, took a look at a variety of carnivorous animals, not just dogs and cats, but also like lions and raccoons and bears and, oh my.
I knew you were going to do that.
They were looking at how many also hyenas and mongoose and ferret. And so they're looking at how many neurons each of these animals have in their brains. And so based on those results, dogs had close to 530 million neurons compared to a cat's 250 million. And what's more, dogs had the most neurons of any carnivore, even though they didn't have the largest brains. So what does that mean? It means that, one thing is that scientists now believe that dogs are smarter than cats, but it also, and something additional that came out of the study is that even looking at smaller animals, it's possible that the prey type animals have just as developed brains as the predators that go after those specific types of prey.
Interesting.
So it's really, really interesting. And I think put it best, one scientist in particular said their findings mean to him that dogs have the biological capability of doing much more complex and flexible things with their lives than cats can. That's kind of the distilling it.
I kind of wonder something. So like dogs are pack animals, which means they have to be more emotionally perceptive
than
a cat, let's say. And, you know, like I watched that Blackfish documentary once with the...
Yeah.
Well, they're super emotional as well. They have a very high emotional intelligence.
But so all animals do, and we just turn our head to it.
Sure. But just from like the pack perspective, as far as understanding and caring about the other members of the pack, does that play into it at all? Do you think that maybe there's more neurons for that?
Potentially, the study doesn't address that, but then there are a couple of other things that the study doesn't factor in that I would love to see yet another study done to talk about this particular part of it. But taking a look at, there have been studies done of just about how dogs and cats became domesticated, the process by which they became domesticated, and the duration of the domestication. We've talked about that before, that dogs have been domesticated for millennia longer than cats. And does that have a role to play in it? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to bring up the dark side of this because you know where I'm going with this. And if they're so intelligent, then certainly they can feel pain. They can feel, apathy, empathy. They can feel all the emotions that we feel except greed.
I've read that they said like the most intelligent dog, you know, like let's say like collies are supposed to be, I think, one of the most intelligent breeds, like Lassie, right?
Yeah.
That they're as smart as like a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you think about like abusing a 3-year-old child. I mean,
right.
That's,
same
yeah.
same well, with pigs. Pigs are also oh, very, yes, very
yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're, you know, pigs, dogs, cats, whatever, animals feel suffering and they want to live mm-hmm. just like us. You know, they want comfort. They want love. They want compassion. And so I think, you know, that's one of the reasons I love having you on every week, Maura, because it's so important as a society. We are judged really, and we should be, by how we treat our animals. And yes. that's another thing this country needs to clean up and get rid of all that fast food and all the food that's wasted so that all these animals don't have to suffer in the farming industry and on the street. Just there's so many unwanted animals out there. What are the statistics, Maura? Can you put them out there for us real quick about the overpopulation?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The only way that we have so many animals in this country, the only way they'd all have homes, that's just the dogs and cats now, is that if every American, that's babies up to the elderly, would adopt 7 pets a week every single day of their entire lives. That is a whole, that's a mountain of animals per person.
Wow.
It's not possible. Everybody out there, spay and neuter, adopt from a shelter or a rescue group. There are a million amazing animals literally waiting for home.
Absolutely. Wonderful animals. And if you don't care about the animals, you should care about the earth, because that is a lot of bacteria going into our city dumps and out into the universe. And it's bad energy, too. So everyone, please spay and neuter. Maura, thank you so much. I so appreciate you being on with us.
Oh, thank you.
All right, everyone. Stay tuned. We have an amazing show coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Guess what? Charlotte's Web has done it again with their new hemp-infused nourishing body cream and balm. Their thoughtful formulation features beneficial botanicals to help support skin health and beautification, with vitamin B5, aloe, coconut oil, arnica, and shea butter to calm dry, itchy skin and support skin revitalization. And of course, all of the ingredients are sustainably grown, non-GMO, preservative-free, gluten-free, cruelty-free, and packaged in BPA-free containers. Find Charlotte's Web at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or SquattyPotty.com. That's SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagazineonline.com. That's paleomagazineonline.com.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
We're not coming in yet.
We're all just jamming.
Yeah, we're going to wait for the bodies to hit the floor. Oh my gosh, I'm having too much fun. Welcome back to One Life Radio. I've got Dr. Mike Fenster on the line. He is America's culinary interventionalist, affiliate faculty member at the University of Montana and College of Missoula Culinary Arts Program. He is a board-certified cardiologist and author of the book, The Fallacy of the Calorie and Why the Modern Western Diet is Killing Us and How to Stop It. And his most recent book, Ancient Eats, are both currently available to order at chefdrmike.com. That's chefdrmike.com. Always a pleasure. Dr. Mike Fenster, how are you doing today?
I was jamming out too, man. It's just something's got to give.
We're having our Christmas party tonight, so we're getting all juiced up for it. Oh my gosh, but I love what we're talking about today with you. I really do. And this is a very serious subject. The link between depression and inflammation, there definitely is one. We're talking about also the interconnectedness of all things and a blog post that you wrote as well. So where do you want to begin with this?
Oh gosh, we can start anywhere because everything's always connected. It's the interconnectedness of all things.
So. Absolutely.
It is a very serious topic, and I think particularly this time of year, with the holidays and things for some folks, that can be a little challenging. And a lot of times I think there's still a stigma about that goes on about depression and its associated conditions, and folks need to know, it's not all in their head. It's not even really necessarily a sign of weakness. For so long, people were fat shamed. Oh, you don't have any willpower. You just eat too much, and that's the reason you suffer from obesity. And now, as we're learning, and I talk about extensively in the forthcoming book, Food Shaman, what we're finding is that all these things are connected to not just how much we eat, but what we choose to eat. And there's really a delicate play, and particularly a connection to our environment, everything around us, including the people and the attitudes. And a lot of that is physiologically mediated through the foods we choose to eat, and unsurprisingly, our gut microbiome.
Absolutely. Well, what I was thinking while you were speaking is that processed foods are essentially, they're just dead food. They're dead food. They don't bring anything really live into the mix. No pun intended.
Well, that was a good pun. And and actually, I'm sort of glad you bring that up. One of the things I'm working at the book, as we've talked about before, is at the publishers now. So hopefully it'll be available in the upcoming months in 2018. Post Hill Press folks in New York City are the publishers. But if we've got anybody out there, any of your sponsors interested, any of y'all, I'm actually putting together sort of a supplementary monograph to deal specifically with, and I talk about a lot of the reasons to choose natural, wholesome, authentic, and organic non-GMO food in the book. But there's really, I think, a need maybe for a separate monograph that I'm working on, which really details, a lot of the pitfalls of, for example, glyphosate and how it gets into our food, kind of the food system, if you will. And really, it was originally released because it says, it affects an enzyme pathway that's not involved in mammals and doesn't affect humans, therefore, but it certainly does affect bacteria. And we see this incredible, strong link. And I'm not going to bore you with going through the science behind it.
Oh, go ahead and bore us.
Well, I'll give you the Reader's Digest version here. For example, there's this incredible link between the mechanisms affected by glyphosate, the effects on tryptophan, and therefore depletion of serotonin. And we in the medical community, we look at that and we say, oh, here, take a pill, that has all these horrible side effects, but put more serotonin in your brain, you'll be happy. Whereas if we really look at, how we choose our food, and the effects of these so-called, additives that are supposed to be safe, we see that, they're really affecting things like our gut's ability, our ability as animals, as mammals, but also our relationship with the gut microbiome, those bacteria, to be able to produce things like the raw materials so that we can get the proper levels of serotonin in our brain.
Yeah.
And you simply look at these associations with the development of this inflammation and diseases, and among those diseases, physiologically speaking, I mean, depression is there. It's real.
Right. Well, you know, like we talked about the processed food being dead food. The odds are stacked against the average American in this country because of ingredients like, I'm going to get on my sucralose kick here, because it makes me so darn angry that they put it in products for children. They put sucralose in. You don't even have a chance as a little baby. If you get a fever and your mom gives you Pedialyte, not knowing that it's got sucralose in it, you've destroyed 50% of your good gut bacteria. And then, oh, guess what? Then you have to be put on antibiotics because your ear infection's out of control because your immune system's compromised. And it's just this like vicious cycle. And this goes on with adults too, but just one ingredient, just one sucralose is in thousands of products all over this country. Toothpaste, it's in mouthwash, it's in, you know, sports drinks, it's in everything, and it's really bad for you.
Yeah, and there's really no escape, because if you even look at things like, say, well, you know, I'm gonna have something that's natural and naturally produced with sugar, unless you really detail and do some work about, you know, what kind of sugar you buy, for example, a lot of that harvesting is done, again, with the application of Roundup, which is glyphosate.
There you go.
And so you'll find increasing levels of that, you know, in things where it just says sugar. And you say, okay, well, you know, that's sugar. It's a molecule of glucose, molecule of fructose. That's pretty simple. But, you know, the sugar cane itself is being harvested, as is, you know, wheat increasingly, you know, through the application of herbicides like glyphosate, Roundup. And then, of course, there's a whole issue of combining that with GMO-resistant type crops so that you're getting these increasing levels. So it's, you know, as I talk about it in the book, what folk, we really have to kick in our survival mechanism, but it's not about going out and, you know, hunting a mastodon or something.
Yeah.
You know, we really now have to use our modern brain to work hard and winnow out, you know, the ingredient, the foodstuffs that actually contain food, more food and less stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking at Sean and saying, Sean, do you want to say something to the listeners?
Well, what do you think of, I know you're a chef and you've written all these books, and, you know, certainly there's paleo and there's whole food and there's ancient and ancestral, you know, there's like all these names for it essentially. But, you know, and I've said this before, like, I don't know what, you know, we ate thousands of years ago, but I know we weren't having, you know, 100 years ago, we weren't having GMOs and RBGH and antibiotics and artificial flavors and colors. And I mean, where do you stand on all that? Like,
you know, I think my personal viewpoint is I'm not a big fan of exclusion. So, you know, I'm not like, well, cut this out and cut out whole foods, whole groups of foods, like no gluten, no fat dairy, you know, things like that. But as you mentioned, I think it's about authentic food, you know, and that's sort of the where, when we talk about the food shaman covers the whole eating experience. But in terms of...
We lost him.
Are you there?
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
We thought we lost you. You're back.
No, it was the cord is just loose on the phone.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
You know, it's about the authentic food. So, for example, when we're talking about wheat, it's not, oh gosh, we can't have wheat because, you know, we've been growing it for 12,000 years. In my book, Ancient Eats, I look at the, you know, how healthy some of these ancient cultures were using dairy, using wheat. But as you point out, Sean, it's not what we're consuming today. And that's sort of the big fraud. That's the big don't look over here. You know, we have to get back to enjoying the foods that we like, whatever that may be. But, you know, we need to get them as close to the source, if you will, as possible. So, you know, these modern varieties that are being treated with the pesticides, they're less nutritious. They can lead to nutritional deficiencies. And then, as you said, you have all these additives and all these processes. So, you know, the quick, you know, down and dirty for the folks, I say, ask those three questions. You know, how is it bred? Is it a heritage? Is it an heirloom? Is it a GMO variety? What was it fed? You know, was it raised with lots of fertilizers? Was it, you know, subject to herbicides? Was it, you know, CAFO or, you know, concentrated animal feeding operations? Was it pastured? And then finally, where was it led? Was there any post-processing? If so, what was involved? And if you can source like a chef and, you know, ask those three simple questions when you're making those food purchases, I think we can get people to start spending their dollars in the right directions. And money, I'm sorry to say this, but money and finances at the end of the day will drive what's produced for us.
Well, you know, as you were speaking again, I was thinking all these nutritional, you said nutritional deficiencies, are they causing us, we really need to go to break, but are they causing us to overeat as a country as well?
Well, I think that is some part of it. Certainly, I think it is responsible for a lot of kind of the inflammation that we see, because that feeds mm-hmm. into it. You know, when we are missing certain, and it can even be certain trace elements, whether it's
right.
magnesium, selenium, molybdenum, you know, say that five times fast,
yeah.
those sorts of things, you know, then it alters the delicate balance of our body and the
right.
bacteria. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in kind of this spiral. And then the more we succumb to convenience and drive through, you know, the more we kind of just, you know, spiral down to that ninth circle of dietary hell.
Right. And I think one of the things that we've gotten away from, and we have to go to break, but I think this is so important. I'm thinking about crazy water and I'm thinking about minerals, you know, I'm thinking about flotation, mm-hmm. all these minerals that your body really truly needs to be balanced, to have normal serotonin levels and, you know, and decrease inflammation. It all makes sense. And as you said, you know, on the interconnectedness of all of this, like we started the segment, it's all connected.
We are deep. We have, you know, cut ourselves off from Mother Earth, you know, and sacrificed that at the altar of convenience. And the true reality, the true nature of the universe is that we are all connected, you know, in all things.
Well, and there's definitely a connection between lack of minerals and mental illness. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much, Dr. Fenster. Always a pleasure. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye,
all right, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Anytime to show you what you need to live. Tell it to me slowly.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why ICW? ICW because Charlotte's Web is an amazing family-owned Colorado company founded by the Stanley Brothers. CW Hemp leads the industry in quality, safety, consistency, and social responsibility to improve lives daily through the use of Charlotte's Web hemp extract. I personally use CW for calm and focus. CW Hemp helps me perform my best every day, and that's why I CW. Find Charlotte's Web at CWHemp.com. That's CWHemp.com.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates crazy water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Did you know there are over 3,000 kinds of snakes? And most, being shy, pose no threat to humans. But they are still feared and killed, even for frivolous fashion. In his poem Snake, D.H. Lawrence marvels at a snake drinking from a water trough. He succumbs to irrational fear and impulsively throws a log at the very animal he admired moments before. He writes, "And immediately I regretted it. I thought how paltry, how vulgar, what a mean act. I despised myself and the voices of my accursed human education, and I wished he would come back, my snake, for he seemed to me again like a king in exile, uncrowned in the underworld." This is Ingrid Newkirk with Peter, reminding us it's easy to be kind by choosing fake snake over real skin for belts, bags, and shoes.
Diamond Gray on the controls. I love this song. I was, where does it scream, "Come on, baby," or whatever? This is Janis Joplin, right?
Yeah.
There you go. All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. We've got Diamond Gray on the music. I've got Lexi Brinkley in studio with me, Aviana, Carla. I've got Tyler posing and Chris Irvin. They are friends of Sean Wells that are in studio with us. And Tyler's actually, I'm getting my guys mixed up. You guys?
Chris
has actually been on the show before, and he is the director of content for ketogenic.com. And we're talking about today the ketogenic diet for psychiatric disorders, a new 2017 review with Sean Wells. And for those of you maybe just now joining us that have never heard Sean before on the air with us, Sean Wells is a certified sports nutritionist and fellow through the very prestigious International Society of Sports Nutrition. He has been dubbed the world's greatest formulator, and he has credentials in the fields of business, clinical work, sports, exercise, and nutrition, making for a unique and highly respected blend of expertise as CEO of Zone Halo Research. And he is also a registered dietitian and has his master's of public health in nutritional biochemistry. And I love this guy, and he's so knowledgeable. You're just so knowledgeable, such a great guy. And the ketogenic diet for psychiatric disorders. Now, it makes perfect sense, though, to me, even though we've never discussed this.
Really?
I don't think so.
Like, so why does it make sense?
Well, because the brain is what, 70% fat or 75, something
right, exactly.
like that?
Right, exactly. And we know that sugar isn't so great for it.
Sugar destroys your brain and causes Alzheimer's and all kinds of things. And so it would make sense that your brain just needs more fat.
That's there you go.
So, exactly.
With the sugar content, for sure. We've talked about Alzheimer's before as type 3 diabetes, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it
and
definitely does make
sense. And told some amazing stories about reversal of the disease and or very marked improvement with certain people. What is her name?
Dr. Mary Newport.
Dr. Mary Newport did a TED Talk that we've discussed many times on the air because it was so phenomenal what she did.
Yeah, taking her husband back through stages of Alzheimer's by using the ketogenic diet, coconut oil, and then even using some ketones.
Well, you know, it's all very interesting science. And, you know, the ketogenic diet is typically classified, as we said, as a high-fat, low-carbohydrate diet, which mimics the state of fasting.
Right.
And if you couple that along with intermittent fasting, it seems like you would get a double punch.
Absolutely. You get higher levels of ketones in your blood, which is you can actually check with like a glucometer, like how a diabetic uses a glucometer to check blood glucose. You can get strips that can check blood BHB, beta hydroxybutyrate, which
say
is
that
a 10 ketone.
Times.
Yes.
Well, you know, this the ketogenic diet is really not new. I mean, it's been well known in history. It's 100 years old, somewhere around there. And they used it back in the day to treat epilepsy, to calm down seizures in the brain, which probably were deficient in fat. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, with you know, the Wild West 100 years ago, maybe that wasn't the Wild West, but, you know, it's going back a while, where food was not as readily available as it is, say, now.
Right, right, exactly. And actually, diabetics used to use, before there was insulin, and then before there was like pig insulin, and then they could synthesize it and all that stuff, they actually, fasting was
one way
that they dealt with diabetes and were able to live somewhat.
Wow.
So, yeah, and then obviously doing a very low-carb or ketogenic diet. So
how does the fasting affect the brain and psychiatric disorders? Or you know, is there some sort of connection there?
Do you want to speak on that, Chris?
Yeah, so actually earlier today in the show when we were talking about inflammation, I think that's actually one of the key things. So there's a lot of research out there showing that the ketogenic diet can lower a lot of markers of inflammation like CRP. Mm-hmm. And I think that for a lot of like the neurological...
What is CRP for people that don't know?
C-reactive
like
protein.
Me.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay,
it's C-reactive protein. It's just something that's usually measured as a marker of inflammation.
Right.
And a lot of the neurodegenerative diseases or neurological related diseases, I think there's a lot of inflammation that comes into play, and especially with some of these diseases like depression, like we were talking earlier today. And I think that's probably one of the key mechanisms in which a ketogenic diet can provide a lot of benefit.
Well, and I think if you're eating less processed food, again, we go back to this. We go back to basics. Mm-hmm. And you're eating more whole foods, you're going to get all the whole vitamins that you need or the whole minerals that you need in order to have your brain function optimally.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that there's actually a lot of research out there talking about how improving your gut health, which we mentioned earlier today, can play a big role in a lot of these diseases like anxiety, depression, schizophrenia, and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, a lot of times when you adopt a ketogenic diet, you tend to be eating a lot more whole foods. You're cutting out a lot of processed foods. And I think that typically leads to a lot of improvements.
Well, I've seen it. I've seen it and I've experienced it in my own life. You show me someone who's not eating well and not exercising, mm-hmm. you're going to have depression and anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Because you're not getting the nutrients that you need or the fat that your brain needs. It's remarkable. So for people that are just now joining us, mm-hmm. I should have said this a few minutes ago, but the ketogenic diet, break it down for us, if you would, please.
Yeah. Sean. So it's very, very high fat, very low carb. So about 70 to 75% of calories coming from fat. And remember, that isn't 75% of calories. Sorry, it isn't 75% of grams. Like, so it's not by weight. So fat is actually more calorically dense. So you're maybe eating like equal amounts of protein gram wise with fat. So it's not as crazy as it sounds. So high fat, very low carb, like 5%, let's say, and then about 15 to 25% of protein.
Well, and I mentioned this at the opening, and I've got this article from Psychology Today. It's the latest issue, The Pillars of Health. It talks about using diet to treat mental disorders is now on the menu, and I'll just read a little piece out of it. Only in the last decade has research proved that the components of natural foods are different from those of processed foods and are handled differently, especially by bacteria in the gut. And oh yes, and those bugs talk to the brain, and they talk and they talk. And so, I mean, it's all connected, because again, you've got a healthier gut too when you're eating whole foods like a sweet potato, and you know, just, you know, not over processing it, but maybe baking it in the oven, not scrubbing it and get all the good bacteria and the dirt off it that your gut microbiome would naturally get by just being outdoors, or a lot of other ways to get good bacteria into your body. I mean, I know guys that compost and like rub compost on their face and like around their mouth and their eyes, trying to get the good bacteria in their whole body, because the microbiome, you know, and that's another thing. Okay, I was talking about this, the microbiome. So if you kiss when you're making out with someone, okay, you're picking
you're
trading microbiome too. So if you're like making out with somebody who's in bad health, you know, you could get some bad bugs.
make sure your partner's eating fermented foods then.
Yeah, that's what you bring up good points. Like, we're not eating as much fermented foods now. We're not having the short chain fatty acids like butyrate, like which is in like butter and heavy cream and things like that. And we're not getting as much resistant starches. So like things like green bananas or like raw potatoes or like some of these things that we overprocess our starches now and basically make them sugars. Mm-hmm. So all those things actually could feed the gut and we're not getting them.
Well, it's all great stuff. And what's Sarah Ballantyne coming up? Got her on the line? All right. We broke down that communication breakdown. And of course, I expect you to comment as well on our upcoming segment, Sean Wells. We've got Sarah Ballantyne coming up. She's going to be talking about plant-based paleo. Can't wait. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Hi, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine, follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagazineonline.com. That's paleomagazineonline.com.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley. I've got Sean Wells in studio, and I've got Sarah Ballantyne on the line. I'm so honored to have her on the show. She is a PhD and is the creator of the award-winning online resource, thepaleomom.com. She is the co-host of the syndicated, top-rated The Paleo View podcast, and she is the New York Times best-selling author of Paleo Principles, The Paleo Approach, The Paleo Approach Cookbook, and The Healing Kitchen. Sarah is also the creator of the online program Go to Bed. She earned her doctorate degree in medical biophysics by the age of 26. That's incredibly impressive. Sarah's transition from academic research to stay-at-home mom to award-winning and internationally recognized health advocate was driven by her own health journey, which included losing 120 pounds and using both diet and lifestyle to mitigate and reverse a dozen diagnosed health conditions. Such an honor to have you on the show, Dr. Ballantyne. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, and I've got your article here in front of me that is in the recent issue of Paleo Magazine, and I know you love Paleo Magazine just like I do.
I sure do.
And I want to give a shout out to a couple of other headline stories that are in here because we're talking so much about keto. Keto, Mark Sisson's top 8 tips, and we already had one of the guest experts on.
Sean Mihalik
talking about the astounding health benefits of hemp and CBD oil. And today we are talking with you you about plant-based paleo. But before we do, I forgot one more shout out. It's Christmas and New Year's 2017 recipes that are in the Paleo magazine that's on newsstands right now. I'm telling you, you guys, it's got beautiful, just wonderful recipes in there of all good, whole, fresh foods that are not complicated to prepare. I promise you. So go pick up a copy of Paleo magazine. And okay, so Sarah, back to business here. So we're talking about plant-based paleo. So something I found really interesting is that there is a high intake of veggies in the original hunter and gatherers. And can you talk to us about these societies? Because I think it's a misconception that the paleo hunter-gatherer diet is only meat.
Yeah, and I think that misconception has translated to the contemporary paleo diet. So I think when people talk about, oh, I'm going paleo, people think, oh, well, you just are obviously eating all the bacon and all the steak, and that's obviously all you eat. But actually, even the original formulations of the modern paleo diet were based on these observations of hunter-gatherers. They, on average, consume 45 to 65% of their calories from plants. And they typically gather between 100 and 200 different species of plants on a regular basis.
Wow.
And when you think about how much less calorically dense plants are compared to animal foods, typically, you're talking about something like two-thirds to three-quarters of their volume coming from plant foods.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually know, you know, for example, hunter-gatherers consumed somewhere between 2 and 10 times more fiber than even the USDA recommendations, which like only 10% of Americans actually meet in terms
right.
of fiber intake, in large part because of this amazing abundance of plant material in their diet. Plus, they were getting the vitamins, the minerals, the phytochemicals. We know some of these wild edibles that hunter-gatherers have access to that are a little bit harder for us in sort of urban areas, but they can have, you know, 100 times more antioxidant phytochemicals, for example, like in a wild onion compared to an onion you can get in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And that completely changes the nutrition that hunter-gatherers are getting compared to what most of us get now, even when we're, you know, making good, you know, whole food focused choices.
Right. Well, hunter-gatherers naturally ate organic food because it was long before there was glyphosate and, you know, Roundup, all these things that are contaminating our food. And so my next question is, so because I'm very curious about what you're going to say with your experience and education about organic food and as opposed to conventionally raised. I'm speaking of produce here more than anything, because you're not the organic food. It's important. You know, in your article, it shows a beautiful picture of a radish with dirt all over it and carrots that haven't been scrubbed and cleaned. And that's the way we really need to eat, isn't it?
Yeah. So I actually really recommend sourcing local organically grown vegetables, hopefully from a farmer who's a dirt nerd. Because one
is
of the
it what? A dirt?
Get, a dirt nerd.
A like, dirt nerd. I love that.
A farmer who like will want to engage in an hour-long conversation to you about all of the things they're doing to improve the quality of their soil. And I've met farmers like this. They're definitely out there.
Yeah.
But the reason for that is that when it's fresh, when it's local, when it's organically grown, it tends to have more nutrients than what we can get in the grocery store. And part of that is the varieties that are grown. So something that's grown locally, we see a lot of heirloom varieties. They just inherently have more vitamins and more minerals. Part of it is the quality of soil they're grown in. So, you know, a carrot can only have minerals in it if the soil it's grown in has those minerals, right? It's absorbing nutrients from the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's grown in depleted soil, which a lot of conventional produce is, it just doesn't have access. That plant cannot have the same amount of nutrients compared to something grown in high quality soil.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing is freshness, right? Freshness makes a big difference. The longer something sits in the grocery store shelves, the more nutrients break down, so the less there is for our bodies. And then the other benefit, which, I mean, you've already alluded to in this show, is the probiotics that you're getting from dirt. So some good organic soil is not only providing us some extra minerals, but it's providing us access to soil-based organisms, which we just don't have access to in our society today.
Absolutely. Well, you talk in the article about the great benefits of increasing veggies in a paleo diet, and the benefits like protecting you against autoimmune disease, cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, obesity, and osteoporosis. Can you talk more about why?
Yeah, so I think there's a few different things going on here in terms of the really, really strong scientific evidence for high vegetable consumption reducing chronic disease risk. And in fact, I mean, it's uniform across the board. Every single study that's ever looked at whether or not eating more vegetables is good for you has shown that, yes, the more vegetables you eat, the lower your risk of disease, the longer you live. Like, it's just really, really convincing scientific evidence. And part of it is certainly the vitamins and minerals, which we've already talked mm-hmm. about. A large part of this is the fiber intake and the fact that vegetables tend to have a diversity of different fiber types. So there's fermentable soluble fiber, there's fermentable insoluble fiber, there's things like resistant starch, there's things like hemicellulose and cellulose, and these are types of fiber that our gut bacteria love, and especially the gut bacteria that we know to be incredibly beneficial for our health, right? They control our immune system, they control our gut barrier, they control, they make vitamins, they make short-chain fatty acids when they ferment fiber, which is beneficial to every cell in our body. They make neuroactive compounds that control neurotransmitter regulation, which is why gut health is so strongly linked to mood. They can even produce compounds that control how leaky the blood-brain barrier is. So having a healthy, diverse gut microbial community is one of the best things we can do to support our overall health. And the only way to do that is to feed them. And what they eat is fiber. And what they really like is the types of fiber that are in vegetables are have a lot of antioxidants built right into the fiber mm-hmm. molecule. And that, you know, just like antioxidants are sort of anti-aging for us, it's the same thing for our gut bacteria. So we actually know that they are healthier and more robust when we're eating a lot of vegetables. They don't actually have the same effect if you eat a lot of grain-based fiber.
Right.
So vegetable-based fiber is really what supports the healthiest gut microbiome, and that then translates to health benefits across the board.
Well, you know, and you were talking about the connection between the gut and the brain, and we've talked about this on the show before. I believe it's called the vagus nerve. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay. Because so many people don't understand. It's like, we don't have time to go to medical school. But I think when people understand what's actually going on in their body, they want to be proactive once they have an understanding. Like, that's the truth. You do have a nerve that connects your gut to your brain. And these people do know what they're talking about because there's so much misconception out there. And there just is. And I might add, not just misconception, but, not a lot of transparency in the food industry that is making us sick. I'm going to say it again, because of all these added chemicals and additives that really don't belong in the human body.
Well, and stripping out the nutrients that our body actually needs.
Right,
if you
right.
look at these modern foods, they're full of things that are inflammatory, that feed the wrong kind of bacteria in our digestive tracts, that interfere with hormone systems, while not providing our bodies with the actual nutrients that our bodies need to function optimally.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, if you don't mind. It's me, Diamond.
Oh, Diamond. I'm like, who is that?
Yeah. Talking about making sure that everything's in soil, and I know we're up against the clock here, but for example, at Trader Joe's, they have those veggie and fruit cleaners to get all the dirt off.
Oh, great
Would
question.
Would you recommend against using those? Because I certainly use them all the time.
That's an awesome question.
So I think it depends on the quality of the vegetable that you're getting. So one of the things that those cleaners can do is that can remove pesticide residues from conventional produce, which is very beneficial. If you're getting, you know, just the regular apples from the grocery store, using a cleaner like that can be really, really helpful. But if you're spending the money to get a organic, locally grown apple from, you know, your farmer who know exactly how they're growing everything, then you're actually stripping away some of the beneficial probiotic organisms that could be on it. So it really is like, it certainly has its use, and, you know, not everybody has access to this really high quality produce, and some people can't afford, right? I buy about 2/3 of my produce from local farms, and I round it out from the grocery store. So I treat something I buy from the grocery store a little bit differently than I treat something that I buy from my farmer.
Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on. We've only got about 30 seconds. I want to point out, though, in this article that another misconception about veggies is that they don't supply sufficient amounts of B vitamins, and you make a point in this article, but yes, they do. They actually contain impressive amounts of B vitamins.
And all of the B vitamins except
B12. Except B12. All right. Well, I just absolutely have loved having you on the air. I hope you'll come back. You're a wealth of information, and your article is so well written. I encourage everyone to go out and get a copy of Paleo Magazine. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Oh, thank you again for having me.
All right. That's Dr. Sarah Ballantyne, PhD. I'm sure she'll be back on. Everyone, you know what? You can listen to our podcast from Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, and TuneIn. You can go to our website at oneliferadio.com to subscribe to our weekly newsletter, or go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device, or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, Crazy Water, Charlotte's Web, Squatty Potty, the ISSN, and Sun Warrior. And Paleo Magazine. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.